Two.
Boom. Hello. You are listening or watching the Giants Guys. I'm Craig Santucci, your host, the owner and operator of NYGiantsRush.com. And these guys, which maybe that way or that way, these are my peeps. It's my crew. How is everybody today?
Doing good.
Doing great, man.
Awesome. Fantastic.
So these are my guys. They write for you. They talk Giants football for you to give you something to do while you're in quarantine, while you're jogging, while you're showering. Whatever you're doing, we give you good content. And we're not morons. We actually know what we're talking about to some degree, or we've got good factual information like Michael Stewart does, because I don't know anyone that knows more about the draft than he does, so I always defer to him. And some of these guys are just really good analysts. They come up with really good opinions, where some of the people, which happens to me every day here, are not. So you are listening to, I don't know, we're episode 4 of the Giants Guys. We're 10, 12 days into May. And as my man Spiro and I were talking about a couple minutes ago, feels like Groundhog Day. So we're going to try to entertain you for at least the next hour. Same style as always, PTI style. I give you a topic, I read it, I'll bounce around, I'll let you guys talk, and I'm going to go from there. Is everybody cool?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And if you notice, Jeff, it is Jeff. He is clean, shaven and stuff, and it doesn't look like him, sounds like him. Could be a twin brother. Going with the fact that it's him, because it just it gives me a good vibe, but it's him.
He's ready for the quarantine to be over.
Yes.
I should have painted a beard on so that you recognize
me. Exactly. Well, just don't feel bad. I need a haircut so bad. My hair is literally down to here. I have to, like, sweep it over to top. All right. So here we go. Giants, guys, episode 4, topic 1. All right, here we go. Let's start off with the UDFA, undrafted free agents. On the subject is kind of interesting because I'm going to defer to you guys because I like any undrafted free agent. Some have impact, some don't, but you didn't lose any draft capital. So I'm like, yeah, sign them. You know, their contracts are written on the back of bubblegum wrappers and toilet paper and bar napkins. So for me, like, if these guys pan out, like, it's a blessing. So give me, like, one or two special players you like. Or for the matter, if you want to, like, totally blow up a guy, like, why we sign him, I'm more than willing to listen to that. Spiro, I'm going to start with you. I know you love this stuff. I've seen a couple tweets this week from you. Is there a guy or two that you like, or maybe one you like, one you don't like? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the two wide receivers out of Ohio State, both Benjamin Victor and Austin Mack. You know, they are what we are missing from a standpoint of length at the wide receiver's position. You know, both had similar issues. They're pretty decent recruits coming in, but you just didn't – there wasn't enough balls to go around at Ohio State. They had a very dynamic offense, and everybody got involved. Both have good size, and both seem to have the ability to be better pros than they were college players. And okay. I think the reason why they slipped was because of such a deep, deep wide receiver class. And, you know, the guys that don't produce big time, they kind of fell under the radar. So, you know, Mack is just a guy that gets open, great route runner, you know, good ball skills. You know, he's got to eliminate the bad drops, and he's had some bad injury luck. But he was the second highest paid undrafted free agent for the Giants. Seems like a pretty decent chance to make the lineup. And then okay. Victor is just a TD machine, just a ton of length. You know, he's got to work on his weight. He's skinny as a pole, but get him in the weight room, and I think he's going to be I'm very high on Victor.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say he's a little on the thin side.
Yeah, he gives me those Plaxico Burress vibes. You know, if he could put on some weight, he's got those long arms and long legs, and he gallops, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Michael Stewart, how about you? Is there someone that you love, someone you hate? Let's lean on – I'd rather hear who you like than you don't. But, you know, I know this stuff – you love this stuff. It's your wheelhouse. So who are you leaning on?
Well, I'm gonna take a guy from each side of the ball, offense and defense. I got, along with Spiro, I got Benjamin Victor. I like this kid. I think he needs time to develop, get a little bigger and stronger, like you guys mentioned. And he does have that long body that I think that it's going to transition over to, as long as he gets bigger and stronger, he could be a viable weapon for the Giants. He's somebody who probably put him in a practice squad, I would think. Now, the other guy, I've been trying to practice this guy's name, and I'm going to botch it up, but I have his name as, let me see again, Olawol Betiku out of Illinois, the edge rusher.
Okay.
I did a lot of watching film on him, and he's a late bloomer, came into football later in life. Doesn't have experience, but he's got a lot of the intangibles you like, instincts, good speed, off the edge, good motor. So another kid put in practice squad, let him develop, just leave him there, and hopefully you'll get something out of him.
Yeah, he started late too, if I kind of remember. Wasn't he like he didn't start playing like his junior year or something like that in high school or something?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remember that story because I'm always like fascinated by a dude who just starts playing at 16. Mikey B, what you got for me?
I'm going to stick with the wide receivers. I'm going to go Derek Dillon at LSU. Spiro talked a little bit about not getting on the field at Ohio State. Like, LSU had a historic offense, right? So my man ran a 4.29, and I'm just thinking, like, give him a chance, and you can't teach speed, so let's go.
Yeah, I'm assuming, too, out of day one, like, he penciled him in as the gunner, you know, on your special teams. Is yep. he can fly. How about you, Jeff? You got somebody that you really love?
Yeah, I think Spiro probably has the logical choices, like these Ohio State guys. And now Derek Dillon was on my list, too, to keep an eye on. He's got Tyreek Hill speed, Derek Dillon, like legit Tyreek Hill speed. So that's dangerous. But there's this kid, Ryson John, that we picked up. He's actually out of Canada. This guy's 6'7", 237 pounds, and he's a true wide receiver. He's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. And if you look up his highlights, he just does not lose jump balls. Like, as a red zone threat, I mean, all these undrafted free agents are dart throws anyway, so why not pick the 6'7", wide receiver that could be an absolute threat in the red zone?
Maybe he can play tackle.
They clearly went after wide receivers with height. You know, that's, you know, and that's something that's been missing from this wide receiver unit. You know, there's Engram, I guess, is the tallest one right now, and he's a tight end. You know, there's nobody that can go up and get a jump ball. So you could see the clear target here, you know, between Mac. But I mean, Dylan's got the speed, but outside of that, it's all big guys that can go up and get the ball.
Because remember, you know, you need chain movers with Shepard and Tate. You never know if Ingram's getting on the field or not, and mm-hmm. you got Barkley. You really don't look at the Giants like, whoa, there's an end zone threat.
Right.
If I throw a jump ball in the back corners, you're going to be somebody to be able to go get it. So some of these guys that are 6'3", 6'4", make a huge difference over guys that are 5'11", 6 foot. Yeah. And we've had that for a while, for the record. Yeah. I mean, listen, best nickname I ever had was Shake, Rattle, and Roll. And that was, you know, Victor Cruz and, you know, Hakeem Nicks, you know, Mario Manningham, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like they all had like a certain style, but not one of them was over 6 foot. So, you know, maybe Manningham.
Nicks was
been,
6'1", maybe.
I was going to say, maybe 6'1". But like, yeah. So a couple of these guys that you named have some good speed for special teams. And, you know, some of them have to be able to catch the ball, you know, on a jump ball. So I like it. That's good work, you guys. Which is easy, by the way. Anyone, by the way, not really that it's in the notes, was anyone have an issue with anyone they signed? Like, why did they sign that guy? Is there a guy out there anybody was like, oh, I hate that guy? anybody?
No? Like you said, there's no risk. There's no risk in these guys. So how much can you hate it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't – you know, I bounce around like – you know, growing up in New Jersey, you know, if you didn't root for Rutgers, and I didn't know a lot of guys that did, you were Rutgers or a Penn State guy, or you just picked a team. I don't have any skin in the game. So, like, you know, like the only reason I like a guy is like, oh, I can't stand Michigan State. You know what I mean? Or I can't stand Ohio. Like, so these guys are all like, they're freebies, right? If they work out, it's great. All right, cool. Let's move on to a topic that Mikey B was talking about 2 weeks ago, and Mike, this is for you because I didn't want to forget it. We we kind of breezed over it, but you had brought up a really good point. So this is kudos to Mikey B. Let's talk about the Gettleman hate, H-A-T-E.
Hate, so much hate.
So here's my question for you guys. Why does this exist? You know, and why does it continue? And let's just say if, all right, big if Gettleman was removed, what does it prove? And would this team make like some Herculean, you know, step forward without him? So I'm going to start off with you, Mikey B, since this was something that you, you know, reminded me and you seem kind of passionate about it. Like, what is the deal? Where does this all come from? And, you know, why won't it go away?
Well, I think it comes from a little bit of people that have just been disappointed for a long time watching this franchise. So they're a little bit skeptical until they actually see sustained success. And until that point, I don't think they'll ever get on board with it, right? And then I think the media feeds into it a little bit with, like, you see a lot of stuff out there about Gettleman being old school and he's not up with the times and this and that. In terms of like the modern day analytics as opposed to old school scouting. And that's where I think the hate comes from. I just want to say that, like, we all know that if you are going to turn over coaches and turn over systems and regimes and your roster every 2 or 3 years, you're not giving anybody an opportunity to develop. I always think about if Coughlin and Eli started together in 2014 and not 2004, would they have even had an opportunity to make that Super Bowl run into their fourth season together? Probably not, the way that people are just getting rid of people and not sticking with the continuity of things. Sure. But you want to just – let's look at the facts here. Gettleman was a GM and built Carolina into a 15-1 Super Bowl team with Cam Newton, whatever you think about Cam Newton. And he has a knack and a track record of drafting very solid offensive linemen, specifically in later rounds. His draft record is actually really, really strong. And a couple of his free agent signings haven't been perfect, but let's be honest, nobody goes 100%. I mean, Bill Belichick gets a pass because he's Bill Belichick, but he's made a lot of moves in recent seasons personnel-wise that are like, that don't look good, but he's Bill Belichick, so he kind of gets a pass. So I think that back to Dave Gettleman, people kill him for a lot of things. One of the best moves he made was fleecing the Browns, giving them Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon, and in return getting Peppers, the draft picks, Kevin Zeitler, who nobody talks about. So overall, I think he's done a really good job, and I personally believe that in about 3 to 5 years, you'll be looking back at these drafts that he's had, and he'll get a lot of the credit that he's not getting now.
Yeah, let's not forget, too, just to throw it out there, I'm sure one of you guys will talk about it, is remember, he was in charge of pro personnel for the Giants. He had Super Bowl rings for bringing guys in like Antrell Roll and Plaxico Burress. He brought these guys in. He was in charge of the free agents and stuff like that. Now, you're right, 100%. Not everybody nails it, you know, and he's older, so people give him a lot of crap. And if you're a young fan, you don't want to deal with anybody who's your grandfather's age. I get it. But, Jeff, what's your take on this? You know, and Jeff, if he wasn't here, if they got rid of him after this year because they went 5 or 6 wins, would it really make a difference? Like, whoever they bring in, would it just automatically, things are rosy?
Absolutely not. To all the Gettleman haters, I want you to think about him, but take away his press conference arrogance, right? If he never got to the microphone, all you had was the moves that he actually makes. He's done a good job. I give him an A grade for his drafts, and I give him a B in free agency. He's brought in so many good young guys to start build this culture. If you get rid of him, the people who want him gone probably can't stand him in press conferences, and probably the Leonard Williams trade. And everyone says it's a fireable offense. You got to get him out of here.
No.
First of all, I didn't like that trade either, but he's still on the roster, so let's see how it plays out, first of all. You may not know for a couple of years. If he becomes – a stud guy and he's there for several years and we're a playoff team and he's one of the main guys, you're going to think he's a genius. So like, let's let that play out a little bit. He was dealt a horrible hand when he started here. He had to offload all of these massive contracts. So like, I'm a defender of Dave Gettleman, even though I can't stand his press conferences. So he's terrible and he's so arrogant. I can't stand him.
You mean the stand-up comedy?
His Boston accent, the whole thing, I can't stand it. So I get, he's easy to hate, but when you really look at his football mind and the guys he's drafted, he's phenomenal. He's really
good. Don't like his Yiddish talk?
I can't stand it.
Go ahead, Michael Stewart. What's your take on our GM?
Well, Mike B hit it on, the media plays a big part in this. There's a lot of Gettleman haters in the media. He did get dealt a bad hand, as Jeff pointed to, with taking over for Reese, cleaning up the cap space.
Not allowed to say that name on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's scarred me for way too long.
You know, Gettleman at some point, whether he's doing a good job or not, he's going to retire. He's going to be 69 years old. So he's probably going to retire even if he's doing a great job with the Giants. But the Giants have a history of bringing in guys who are part of their culture, part of their history. If you look at their, you know, George Young, Ernie Accorsi, these guys have all had history with them. That's why Gettleman got the job, because Ernie Accorsi was part of the hiring process. So that's how he got the job. And if he does leave, I think it will be on his accord. I don't think they're going to fire him. I think even if he does win 5 games this year, I don't see it happening. But I do see that bringing somebody from in the organization.
Well, like, just in general, the turnover, Mike, just the turnover in general doesn't make sense. Like a new GM, you got a rookie head coach, and you got a second year quarterback. Like, turnover doesn't make anything any better. On top of the fact is, find me a GM that's got every single move as a slam dunk. We could go through some bonehead moves, right? It gets old for me. Go ahead, Spiro, go ahead, jump in. I know you've got a good take on it.
I didn't have this in my notes, but I just thought about it. If they change GMs now, the third in about, 6 years, they're going to blow this thing up and they're changing cultures. They're going to bring in somebody that's not from this organization. I think they're wholeheartedly going to blow everything up. And what does that mean? Another roster turnover. You're starting to rebuild again. And so I don't think I can sign on for that right now. We've just gone through the rebuild and I think he's truly building something here. Now, the reason for the hate, for anybody under 30, it's the Odell Beckham trade. And, on Twitter, he's a punching bag because he mocked the analytic guys and the analytic guys just want him to fail. Drafting Barkley, totally against analytics, and lastly, you can't it's hard to rebuild in New York. People just looking at wins and not seeing what's, the forest through the trees. This is a rebuilding team that Reese left him in shambles. So he's building things up. Did he miss on some signings? I think he signed the right guys that didn't turn out well. Solder was the best left tackle on the market. They needed a left tackle. Was it Eric Flowers or him?
Choice.
It didn't pan out. Ogletree was a serviceable Ram when he was on there. He made the trade for him to be a presence in the middle of defense, blew up in his face. All his misses in free agency were just stopgap players in the middle of a rebuild. People harp on it so much, like a Jonathan Stewart. Everybody harps on these little deals that were he got rid of these guys right after they didn't show anything. Bethea. Everybody wants to look at the record. You gotta wait for this rebuild to take place, and it's going to take another year or two for it to come to fruition. If he wrote an article to fans like the Rangers did, saying he was rebuilding, I think people would have given him more slack. But, he's a tough guy. He does things his way. And he constantly says, give me time and you'll see what this rebuild is going to be like. So, he brings a little bit on himself, but I have faith in the guy, giving him this year.
Yeah, I constantly remind people just, they – and it drives me crazy. Like, it's easy. And I'm a cynical guy. it's easy to pick on the stuff that you do wrong. It's just easy, right? Punching bag was the word I think you used. It's easy. But for a second, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but just for a second, that 2019 season sucked. I told you, it might have been my most, like, I just had enough. You know what I mean? I just had enough. But here's the thing. He signs Mayo as a special teams guy, right? Off the scrap heap. Nobody wants him. You know, if I remember correctly, the guy didn't even get invited to the combine, okay? But this guy comes in, and you lose Connolly, right? And Ogletree misses, I think, 3 or 4 games. You need a guy. This guy steps in and calls the defense. What would you have done without him? Like, again, is he athletic? No, he's not super athletic, right? But you took a guy who you thought was going to just play special teams, and he winds up calling the defense, all right? Caden Smith, how many tight ends did go down this year? 4? 5? We had guys just dropping like flies. He takes this guy, signs a free agent, and we watch him catch 8 balls in the last game of the year or last 2 games, and all of a sudden you're like, who is this guy? And you're looking him up, and the guy can ball, right? In fact, he just reminds me of Kevin Ballard so much, like, because, like, you know, they didn't throw the ball to him that much. Next thing you know, you start throwing him to the ball, and you're like, wait a minute, this guy can catch. And you look at the guy, he was a runner-up for the what's the tight end award, Jeff? Number one.
College tight end.
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank? Mackey. Yes, thank you, Michael Stewart. I mean, he was like runner-up for the Mackey Award. The dude has more – in his senior year in college, he had more 20-yard catches than anyone in the NCAA, right? You look at – Mikey B, great point. He gets rid of, Odell Beckham. Peppers is a really good player, right?
And they got Dexter Lawrence with that draft pick.
Yep, Zeitler. How about this? Then that people love this. He signs Omame, and let's talk about Omame. As soon as we realized he couldn't play, what did he do?
Cut. Yeah. If he realizes Reese, his mistakes,
if,
and he
if
gets
that was Reese,
person.
Yep. And Spiro, you know, if that was Reese, Omame would still be on the team.
Oh yeah, for
just
sure.
Just like Hart was, just like Newhouse was, just like John Jerry was, right? So
absolutely.
Look, hate him all you look at. The Stewart thing was they were buddies. He threw him a bone.
Culture too.
And said, hey, man, come in. Make sure the locker room's cool. Make sure Barkley finds his way to the restaurant and the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, make sure the kid doesn't get lost, you know what I mean, in Harlem.
Don't forget about Nick Gates too. Another under-the-radar signing who came in and started getting meaningful snaps. He might be our starting center next year.
Yeah. So, like, we can pick apart. And listen, the Tate signing, right? Tate was a moron for getting busted for steroids or PEDs, excuse me. Like, that's not on Gettleman. I mean, it's good. So look, I mean, and again, he's not a world beater, but if I look at Tate, Caden Smith, Mayo, Pepper, Zeitler, I mean, they're all good players. You know, like, yes. And I don't know, Spear, I think you said it. Yeah, if you're under 30, you hate the guy. He's your grandfather. He probably can't find his way around an iPhone. You know, he has no idea how to use Google Hangouts or Zoom. I get it, but it doesn't matter. He knows football, okay? So, you know, the hate's got to go away. If I have one more person say, he signed Stewart and Omame, I want to – I'm like
– And did it, you know, honestly, and the problem that I had with all these and the people that say he had dead money on the Odell Beckham trade, they weren't going anywhere last year. What does it matter?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he stopped them from going to the Super Bowl with those signings or dead money trades.
For the record, since Odell was drafted, we've been the worst team in football.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we lost with him. We can lose without him. Get rid of him and start looking ahead. He made the
record. You know, we know that now there'll be no missing wide receivers on a boat trip. I mean, these are the kind of things that people keep bringing up. They want to just find these things to talk about. It's maddening. Like, they want to talk about the boat trip. They want to talk about Stewart. They want to talk about the Ogletree thing. Like, who else were you going to sign? That was a good point that I think you made, Spear. Like, who else were you going to sign? You needed a linebacker. The dude was thumping everybody for the Rams. The guy would hit everything that moved. He came here and he was like, I got paid.
Yep.
I got paid.
What do the I mindset was there. He made the right moves. They didn't turn out correctly, but you know, you can't blame him for what he was the thought process behind it.
100%. All right. don't threaten me with a good time. So that's right from Jeff's tweet. So this came out, I don't know where I got it from. Maybe one of you guys sent it to me, but someone sent it to me. It's a little bit of fun. And Jeff's comment was, don't threaten me with a good time. So I'm going to ask you guys to give me your list. Okay. So this list will have a couple categories. So if I'll read them to you in case you don't print it out or have the notes in front of you. So I'm going to start. I'm going to start with you, Jeff. All right. So one, you're just going to give me your guy. Okay. Who's your most overrated player on the New York Giants?
It's Nate Solder. Come on.
All right. Give me your most underrated player.
I'm going James Bradberry. That was a sneaky pickup, and he's pretty much our number one cornerback right now. So go ahead.
Love it. Best player on the team.
Come on. Barkley.
The only thing, key new addition. Uh-oh.
Sorry.
There you are, Jeff.
I'm back.
Yeah. You froze up for a second.
Yeah, I did. That was scary.
He was really thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. He needed some time. All right. Key new addition.
I mean, the obvious is Andrew Thomas, but I'm going McKinney to lock up the other safety spot with Peppers.
Love it. Give me your could surprise.
I'm sticking with it. Darnay Holmes. This guy is going to surprise you. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens.
You keep wishing that.
Speaking boy. Into existence.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Just like Mikey B's 11 and a half sacks.
I have to stick with that now.
You have to.
Yes, you do, because Jeff wrote it down on a piece of paper. Look.
For the record, I have all our Giants guys hot takes here. Okay? So when you make a hot take, it goes in the book, and then it becomes real.
I love it.
Excellent.
Jeff, take a leap.
Darius Slayton. This is the last time Darius Slayton is not going to be a well-known name in the NFL. He is going to blow people's minds this year. I'm predicting over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. Like
hang on. Like find in a book.
I was going to ask what kind of leap.
Yeah. All right. And the last one, Jeffy, prove it year.
For me, it's Leonard Williams. We don't know what to do with him, right? Prove that you want to be a Giant. Prove that you want to lock up the middle of that defense on the line. And I'm looking for him to make a difference this year. Prove that you want to be here, and then we can talk long term.
You ready, Michael Stewart? You locked in for this?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, here we go. Most overrated Giant.
Ingram.
Yeah!
We knew Craig was going to like that.
Oh, yeah. Man. I've never wanted to like someone and hate so much outside of Vernon. Now I've got two of them in 2 years. Most underrated player.
I think it's going to be Ocean Jimenez. I think he's going to play a bigger role this year.
Okay.
Again, it all depends on what happens to Golden if they re-sign him, but if they don't.
Best player on the team?
Let me think about this one. It's Barkley.
Key new addition?
Well, I went with Bradberry because we need a lockdown cornerback, and he's going to make Baker's job easier by being – the guy taking on the number one receiver. So I think that's really probably the biggest acquisition we got.
What you're saying is that he won't be asleep in the meeting room is what you're really saying.
Yeah, that's hoping that, right?
Could surprise.
Let's see what I put down. I'm going with some beef. I went with Will Hernandez. I think he's going to – I think under Colombo, he's gonna develop into the next Zach Martin.
Did you guys see that picture of him on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you not love this guy? How do you not love this guy?
Dude was
wearing the Danny Dimes shirt.
For one, he's pumping like, I don't know, 345 over his head?
Right? He's no Lonzo Ball, who was putting up like 25 on each side. Not even. It was like.
funny. And then he's got the Danny Dimes shirt on. He's like.
And he keeps going like patting
I'm watching it now.
Oh, it's great.
But, dude. I'm he's telling you, he's going to have like 315 on that bar.
Oh, yeah. He's pumping some serious weight. Right
and he
there.
Wasn't struggling either. He
no.
Was,
no.
He was warm up.
Easy lifting.
All right, Michael, prove it year.
Proven You. I think you skipped one. Take a Leap.
Oh, Take a Leap. My bad.
I went a little differently. I think McKinney is going to shine, and he's going to be like an all pro as a rookie all pro.
Is that a hot take?
Wait, hey, is that a hot take? Is that going in the book?
Well, it's going right in the book.
Maybe not in the book, but I think he's.
No! Going Too late.
I already started writing it. Sorry, man.
Too bad.
It's in the, Michael. You're stuck with that one.
Better. And secondary.
All right, prove it here. Prove it here.
I think Leonard Williams has to prove it. He is a good football player, but he needs to take it to the next step if he wants to get paid as a premier lineman, defensive lineman.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. If he wants to get paid, he actually has to work. Yeah. All right, Mikey B., are you ready? Let's give it to me. Most overrated.
Sterling Shepard.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ouch.
I like it.
Ouch.
Spicy.
Oh, I got cold in here, man.
It's hard to say that. It's because he's a good dude, guy. I think he says the right things and he works hard. I just the way that he's viewed, I don't know that he's as like on the level of what people think.
Is it just the concussions? I mean, without concussions,
what's his?
He's not on the field enough. I agree. I don't disagree with Mikey B.
not only that, I just feel that like he was
he's
a second
Cruz.
Nah, not even. He was a second round pick, and like if he's very replaceable at that spot, you know what I'm saying? Like for most teams in the NFL, he's a number three, and like more than half the teams in the league, he's a three. I think on maybe a third of the teams, he's a two. But like I don't know. Like he's a good route runner and a good guy to have, but I think he's a little bit overrated the way that people talk about him.
Damn. Damn, Mikey B is just like. Boom! Dropping the mic,
and I like him. I think he's a good person. So it feels bad to say, but I'm just being honest.
I probably should have went in reverse for Mikey B and let him finish with that. All right, most underrated player.
I'm gonna go Leonard Williams. I can see why a couple of you guys said it's a prove it year for him, but I think he's underrated a little bit.
All right, give it to me. Best player. All right.
Saquon.
key new addition.
I'm going with Bradbury. I mean, McKinney, I love McKinney, but Bradbury, I think, is going to come in and be a really significant boost to that secondary.
Agreed. Could surprise.
How can I not go with Carter, right?
I was leaving that one for you.
No choice.
Man.
You're locked in.
You're locked in. Own it.
Pushing the chips to the middle of the table like Jim Russell.
Yeah, there it is.
Take a Leap.
DeAndre, you know, I feel like he doesn't need to do a ton to take that much of a leap, but I feel like he's going to be somebody who we're going to be at the end of the year looking back at him as a first round pick and saying definitely worth it.
Okay.
Prove it.
Ingram, it's got to be. Come on, let's go. Stay healthy. Yeah. Get like you know, consistently catch the ball, win the matchups. Let's go. Don't disappear. It's your
Don't
time.
Get hurt.
And make that guy.
Probably everything I would have said. Go ahead, Spiro. Let's give it to me. Give me the most overrated.
Well, so this was a tough one because I honestly don't think many people around the league rate. Many Giants highly. So what I went with was Gettleman's love for John Jalapio, which I still don't get. And they were talking about maybe bringing him back off an Achilles injury. And when he didn't do well last year, it just doesn't make sense. So Jalapio.
most underrated?
I'm going to go Golden Tate. He came in last year and did everything you could have expected him to do.
Play the first four games?
Yeah, he missed the first four games, and his stats really, I mean, they weren't that badly affected by it. He still put up some pretty decent numbers. He was a big play guy. He moved the chains, reliable threat for Daniel Jones. And then nobody gets the love.
Can I piggyback on that real quick? Every time Daniel Jones needed a big third down, he went to Golden Tate.
Yeah,
and Golden he made Bryant. Tough catch after tough catch in traffic.
Absolutely.
So I agree with that one.
He got some Tate, got some love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, could surprise.
Hey, could surprise. Let's just say I'm going to go with DeAndre Baker because he's been getting crapped on left and right in the media. And
I wonder why,
most of it deserved, especially if he was sleeping in meetings. But I think he's going to come in and they're going to use him the way he's supposed to be used in press man coverage. And then he's going to dominate over there. I'm big on the Baker train.
All right. Baker's your guy. And that's your surprise pick, right?
Yes, I mean, that's my surprise.
Right, because I was thinking he also could probably be penciled in as take a leap. But so who's your leap?
My leap is Will Hernandez. He's going to take that leap to Pro Bowl guard. You know, Colombo is a tenacious guy. He's going to get in his ear, and Hernandez, his game is mauler. He's going to turn into that hog molly that we thought we were getting in the second round, and he's going to take that leap. I truly believe that.
All right, so I think a lot of you guys have the same thing here. Prove it here.
So I was going to go with Leonard Williams. You know, I'm still going to go with Leonard Williams because he's got to show something for that third round pick, man. Because, you know, Gettleman's taking on water left and right for this move, and everybody's crapping on. And let's talk about Leonard Williams taking all this heat for something that he didn't do. He didn't make the trade for himself. You know, so he's a solid player. And he's going to prove it this year. I think he's going to get 5+ sacks this year for sure.
It's interesting because that prove it one is prove it like he's going to or prove it like he better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting the way you, you know, you can take the meaning of that. So mine's, I've got a couple that aren't really earth shattering, but my overrated is Ingram because he has – well, let me think about it. Even if I'm just being fair and not being sarcastic, he's got everything going for him, right? Size, speed, good-looking dude. Seems like he fits in New York no problem, right? He's not in trouble off the field. What doesn't he have? He doesn't have any stats, right? He can't stay healthy. Every year he misses more games. He missed one game. Then he missed 5. This year he missed 8. Like, what's he going to miss, 12 this year? Like, so, you know, for me, he's only overrated because he doesn't have anything to show you, right? So, you know, I want him to do well. Of course I want him to do well, but I'm so tired of hearing how great he is. He's got to show it, right?
Well said.
That's fair.
You know, underrated, I'm going with Slayton because here's the thing. Did anyone, like, hear anything about this guy after the season? Like, nobody was raving about this guy. He caught pretty much everything. What do you have, 8 touchdowns?
8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
Big play.
They're still talking about other receivers. Like, he should have been like, hey, this guy dropped in the draft. The Giants, you know, believed in him. The kid caught everything.
Gettleman gets no praise. No praise for picking up in the 5th round.
Yeah.
No praise.
And nobody's talking about this cat.
Yeah.
They should be talking about this cat that he's got a chance to be the next Adam Thielen. You know what I mean? Like Adam Thielen came out of nowhere. So Slayton, like, to me, is underrated. Best player. Okay, like I said, Twitter probably all agreed on one motion with Barkley. Key addition for me, you know I love him because we haven't had one since Pierce, and it's Martinez. You know, you saw what I went through yesterday with that total.
You are like the GIF of the guy on Game of Thrones just taking on the whole army of people.
I was Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Because, like, none of it makes any sense. Like, here's the thing. Reality sets in about this guy is one is Graham. One of you guys probably said it. Graham pounded the table and said, get this guy. Why? Because he's smart. He's quick. He's sideline to sideline and he tackles everything. And we gave up 19 rushing touchdowns. Sign a guy that can take 19 rushing touchdowns to 8 rushing touchdowns. It's a win, right? The second thing is, oh, he's not very smart. He went to Stanford. Stanford! I mean, come on. I mean, give me a break. He's not smart. Not fast. I literally can pull 100 plays off of YouTube. 100. Not 4. 100 plays. This dude shoots gaps and makes plays in the backfield all day.
Pierce wasn't fast either, and he was one of our better linebackers in the past decade, you know?
And I wasn't sure if Jeff or Spiro, one of you guys jumped in and made that comment. Like, Look, we haven't had a linebackers for so long. So what are you hating on a dude? One, he hasn't played. He hasn't even got a jersey yet. And you're hating on the guy. And you're saying he's no good. Here's the thing. And I'm going to say this directly at you. There's no shot to be in the NFL and be number one, number two, or number three in tackles, averaging 147 tackles, 300 tackles in the last 2 years and 8 sacks, and you suck. It's not physically possible. Yeah. I mean, like, it doesn't matter if you like him or not. 300 tackles in 2 years and 8 sacks, you don't suck. On top of not sucking, you have to be good enough to get off a block and make a play. It's 300 freaking tackles. He had 70 more tackles than Ogletree this year. Like, he doesn't suck, okay? Is he Troy Polamalu? No. Is he Navarro Bowman? No. Is he Ray Lewis? No. But he's better than anything we've had, and he would have still got $7-8 million on another team. Did the Giants maybe overpay him by a mil or two? Yeah, but who gives a bleep? He was the third best linebacker in free agency. So he's definitely by far my key additions because we can't stop the run. I mean, like, like you literally said, okay, the Giants are fourth from the last in the NFL at stopping the run. We now may be able to move into a top 12 stopping the run because of one dude. I mean, again, not one guy. It's a team game. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that key addition changes how the rest of the defense plays, right? Because he's – Graham went and got him. So I don't want to get crazy about it because yesterday I was Jon Snow. I was taking on everybody. I thought I held my own pretty well too.
Sure.
You know, a couple times I was like, dude, don't make me block you. I can't take you anymore. Could surprise. You know, it's a menace. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely Zemenis. Zemenis, if you watch that clip, I'm sure you guys saw. I think Mikey B definitely saw. Did you see the clip of Marcus Golden coaching him up on the sideline?
Yeah, I did. I saw that one.
Perfect example of he's from OD, Old Dominion University. He's never seen this before. And he's just running high over top the quarterback. And Golden's telling him, no, you haven't seen anything like this before in college. You need to change.
Can I tell you a quick story about him? Yeah. I forgot to tell you guys.
Yeah.
I was in DC visiting my sister when she lived there, like, I guess a year and a half ago.
Okay.
A year ago. It was right after the draft. And one of my Uber drivers was roommates with him. And he was like, because we were talking about football. I'm like, I'm a Giants fan. He's like, oh, my roommate in college was Jimenez. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, cool. What did we get ourselves into? And he's like, honestly, like, he'll probably start for you guys this year and get some time. But he's not like a partier. Like, he does his work. He's business, like a good dude, works hard. Like, he's going to put his head down. So that I forgot to mention that to you guys, but that was a nice little
reassurance. Well, dude, listen, just for the heads up, next time your Uber driver is roommates with one of our players, like, A, get his phone number.
Yeah.
So we can have an interview here. You're listening to the Giants guys, and Mikey B blew an interview with O'Shea Zemenis. Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
My bad.
No, but great story. And I really do think he's got a chance to make a leap, but he needs coaching. Like, in the game, Marcus Golden is trying to coach him up. He needs Jesse Armstead. He needs Strahan. He needs to learn the body movement, because if you watch him play, he bodies up on a bull rush and they ride him right around. He doesn't bend right now. He doesn't dip his shoulder and he doesn't swim. You know, you can watch him that he doesn't dip inside and then come back over and swim. He's all bull rush and slide. He definitely needs some help from guys like, you know, Jesse's Armstead or Strahan or even Kiwanuka, just some guys that can maybe teach him some alternate moves. He's my biggest could surprise you, because I'm not going as far as Mikey B with the 11 and a half sacks, but he had 4.5 sacks. He could definitely pull in 7 or 8 this year with some key helping. Take a leap? By far, it's Peppers. Second, you know, now he's acclimated back to his – remember, he's a Jersey boy. You come back to Jersey, you got family, distractions, new defense, a crappy defensive coordinator that doesn't know what to do with you. I think Pepper settles in, and now he's like, whoa, I got this McKinney dude. He's awesome. I got Love. He's doing – I think Peppers takes a leap, and I think maybe Spiro might have mentioned it last week. We're going to see Peppers doing a lot of blitzing off the end. We're going to see Peppers play a pretty cool game. I'm excited for Peppers. I like him a lot. So I think he's my take a leap guy. And my prove it year is – sorry, Mikey B. But it's Carter. I mean, he
– I see that, yeah.
Because he's duplicating the same thing he did at – what do you call it?
Georgia,
thank you. Like, he disappears for large chunks of plays. Like he's not – someone had dropped an LT highlight on Twitter the other day. And what always was so fun to watch was he never stopped. It was go, 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 go. And you had to account for him all the time. When Carter's on the field, he's like, hey, guys, I'm taking these two plays off. It's cool. I'm going to stand here. But on this third play, I'm coming. Like, he's got to prove it or he's dead weight. I hate to say it, but he's dead weight. Like, we don't need part-time pass rushers and part-time players. Like, he has to be able to go, I want this position. Mikey B's got me for 11 and a half sacks.
He does. He does have to prove it, though.
I just think he's got to prove it because he's got all the ability. I think it's up here. Like, he just doesn't have the drive, you know what I mean? Like, or the passion to lay it all on the line. I want a guy who wants to lay it all on the line. Like some of these guys, you just see them. They just won't stop coming. They just keep coming.
That camp battle between him, Fackrell, and Ximenez is going to be one to watch, you know, to see who becomes the lead dog in that threesome right there.
They're all going to get opportunities.
For sure.
I think Fackrell will get the edge just because it's Graham's guy. I mean, Judge's guy, but who knows? Who knows? All right, so that's my don't threaten me with a good time, a.k.a. Jeff Pilgrim. I'm skipping this next part, Barkley versus Chubb, because I don't want to talk about it. Because
I think we all agree.
Barkley's a better running back.
End of story. All right, we covered it. It's done.
But I'm throwing this out here as a wild card because Spiro wanted me to put it in here, and I'm going to let you guys run with it because I hate to say it. Like, I don't have a beep button, so I can't say I don't give a bleep. But, like, schedule's just not my thing. Like, I don't – and it's cool that everybody's into it, but, like, I've never been into it. Like, I just – you know what it is? Who are we playing this week? Knock them down, set them back up. I've never been more like, hey, playing this guy – not this early in the season. When it comes to, like, August, I'm starting like, all right, and as the season goes. But I appreciate Spiro pinging me and being, hey, look, can we talk some schedules? So, Spiro, since it's your baby, I'm going to start off with you. Like, what do you like about the schedule? Do you feel there's some pitfalls or do you feel like there's a spot where they can make a run?
Well, you know, right off the bat, first Monday night game, we're getting out the way from at MetLife, the home Monday night game. I kind of like the fact that we're the first Monday night game. All eyes are going to be on us. Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they're going to be a little vulnerable with Big Ben coming back. So don't be surprised if he shocks the Steelers, go 1-0, you know, Bears week, who, Foles or what's the guy's name?
Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch, yeah. Don't be surprised if they come out 2-0. But, you know, it's going to be tough after that. They got San Francisco, Dallas, Los Angeles. You know, they got Tampa Bay later on in the season on a primetime Monday night game as well. Listen, I like looking at the schedule to see where the bye comes. I usually like to see where I'm going to travel, try and get to a away game. It's a fun thing for me and my boys to kind of look at, and gives us something to do between now and, you know, training camp at this point.
Especially if there is a training camp.
Right. But it's not going to be easy for Judge. He's going to have to earn his money right off the bat, man. The schedule is not for the faint of heart.
Mikey B, you got anything on this schedule that you like or dislike? You know, Spiro basically said that, you know, you could go 2-0, but then there's a good swatch of games that the Giants could just get thumped. Is there anything part of this schedule that you like or dislike?
I don't know if there's any part that I like or dislike, but my quick disclaimer on schedules is that a big deal is made out of them every year about who has a difficult schedule and who has an easy schedule. Because of the parity in the league year to year, like, there's a lot of teams that you think are going to be good that aren't good and vice versa. So what looks like could be a good team now is not going to be a good team. Plus, you know, oh, this team has a hard schedule, this team has an easy one. Everybody in the same division plays the exact same schedule with the exception of two games. So let's also remember that as well. I think it's a little bit overblown. I do think when you get teams is important. Quick example, if you get New England in September, it's probably better because typically they don't, you know, they're lights out after September. But
yeah, they're a slow starter.
Yeah, other than that, like, you know, I don't make too much of it.
I agree with Spiro, though, if you are going to hit an away game somewhere, schedule's worth its weight in gold if you're making a plan, you know, for, I don't know, Halloween weekend or something like that.
Right.
So, Michael Stewart, anything that jumps out at you, like when you look at the schedule, like, you know, key matchup week or even the other way around, like, man, we could go on a run. I've heard people tell me that the end of the schedule is kind of favorable or the Giants may be able to rip three or four off. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Anything that you like about the schedule, Michael?
Well, I don't take a lot of stock into it again because they go by the strength of schedule by teams' records last year, right? To combine all the
– Yeah. And, at least that's what
we see. We have the draft. Everything changes in between. I look at the Giants' schedule, and I will write an article on it, but just looking at it quickly, it's not that easy of a schedule, even though they're saying it's easy. I'm looking at it. I mean – Spiro said they can go 2-0. They can easily go 1-2 the first two games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you don't know. And they got a tough back six. I don't see an easy one other than the Bengals. And they also have, if you catch them on a bad day, the Browns maybe. But, I mean, they got the Ravens. They got Cardinals beat them last year. They got Cowboys. They got a tough Seahawks. That's a tough six ending. So the easiest schedule is probably the middle five. Because they played Washington twice. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to commit to what they're going to end up with. Not yet, but, you know, it's going to be a learning curve for them.
Jeff?
Yeah, along with that middle five with Washington twice is Philly twice and Tom Brady. So, there is no – I mean, if you look at the first 2 weeks, we play two great defenses right off the bat, Pittsburgh and Chicago. But looking at the schedule, that's our best chance to win two games in a row – except for maybe week 14 and 15, Cardinals and Browns. And neither one of those games are going to be a cakewalk. I think they're going to be close games. But my feeling is, as long as we have to play Philly and Dallas twice a year each, we need to get out of our division, right? We need to take care of business in our division and then let the rest play itself out.
Let me ask everybody a question. And we don't have to go too deep in it, but, like, what's the difference between – a good team and a bad team right now? Because I'm thinking, like, okay, the Giants, new coach, new scheme, right? And we've all said week one that 7-9 is a win. Don't we all agree with that? If they're 7-9, it's a win, right? Yeah.
I think anything six wins or over with this with these opponents is a success.
Yeah. My question is
I think it's, like, how you get there though.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I'm curious though, is like, so Cardinals, Browns, Washington.
Odell come back to MetLife. That's a big thing.
No, those are all big things. But what really is the difference? Like, I'm thinking about players, coaches. What's the difference between the Giants and Washington, the Browns, the Cardinals, Tampa Bay? Like, forget Brady. I mean, no offense. Like, it's not going to be the same without Belichick. And I don't care if he's got Gronk or not. I know Arians is really good.
Oh, he's got a lot of weapons, man.
Mike Evans and Godwin. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
I know.
And they were the number one rush defense. They're not just Tom Brady either.
What? Oh, because of Barrett.
That's another topic, right?
That's a topic for another day. But is there anybody, like, I don't know what makes the difference. Like, the Cardinals, the Browns, Washington, like, the Eagles aren't going to be having a banner year. Like, the Eagles.
We're picking to win the division.
Until we beat them. It feels like we haven't beat them in a half a century.
That is true.
So that's what, you know, I'm always chalking up at least one loss to them. And same with the Cowboys right now, who have our number. Like, you know, Jeff said, we need to get wins in our division first. So
yeah, well, the Eagles win is painful since I live down here in the Philadelphia DMA, and it's very painful.
Been rough.
All right, I just wanted to know because I just don't see that dramatic difference between the Bears.
Well, the Ravens, you know, you got a team like the Ravens who are – well, actually, this year in particular, with no OTAs, a new coaching staff, I think the teams that have the same coaches and continuity are going to have a huge advantage over the Giants right now.
Yeah, because we got too many new guys.
Which stinks because, you know, we have some real hard teams coming right off the bat that, you know, especially like Tomlin, you know, or San Francisco, good coaches. It's going to be tough to get off the mat right
there. Yeah, and it's a shame because you don't want – they're going to get that albatross hung around their neck, you know what I mean? Oh, you guys suck. You see what Gettleman did.
Exactly.
It's got to do with the fact that you're not going to have any continuity. You're not going to have any – you know, the teams aren't going to gel. They're going to be winging it.
Tough year for coronavirus for the, you know, Giants, you know, new coach.
Yeah, and by the way, like, New York has the most cases. They're probably going to be – you know, the most cautious with what they do. So
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I know. Judge said something about they're looking for a place to have training camp other than whatever they call it now, Quest Diagnostic Center, whatever they call it now. Mm-hmm. Timex, I can't remember what they call it. But,
yeah,
they keep changing the name. But so he's looking for a place to have practice, you know, that they can get good practice time in. But he also then threw a bone to the fans and said, I want the fans there. But I'd like to have a secluded place where we could actually get a ton of work in because we're going to be behind the eight ball. So we'll see how that shakes up. For any of you people that are new to the show, we appreciate you listening or watching or both. We are the Giants guys. This is our video podcast attached to NYGiantsRush.com. I don't know. It's a labor of love. I hope you read it. I hope you like it. All these guys have great articles up there. Mikey B just sent me something this afternoon. I got a post. But we hope you support these guys and, you know, we're going to try to do a show every other week, you know, or at least try to get some content out to you guys. Because look, we're talking about changing the Giants uniforms. That's what we're down to right now. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's nothing going on and we're all stuck at home arguing on Twitter. All right. So let's go to, I always do the blast from the past. I think we have some fun with it. I get a good reaction from Twitter, like, how dare you put that guy on Mount Rushmore? How did you not put Tiki Barber? How did you put, what do you mean YA Tittle's not on there? So yeah, I've got some good feedback from people here. So this is one of a personal bothers me every year training camp comes around and I see these guys get offered new numbers and jerseys and I get my panties in a bunch every single year. So blast from the past is retired or tired? Will Eli and Strahan get their numbers retired this season? And why is number 58 Carl Banks? And why number 53 Harry Carson? Why are they being worn by a bunch of scrubs, you know, that aren't going to make the team? That's terrible for me to say. But why are guys wearing 53 and 58 comboed with, are Eli and Strahan getting their numbers retired? I'm going to start with you, Jeff. What's your thought here? Because, like, it's a little – to me, it's tired. I'm tired of seeing 53 and 58 running around. So what's your take?
Yeah, maybe originally they didn't want all three linebackers to get their numbers retired. So just, you know, like, that was – but, I mean, so much time has passed that, like, okay, you know, those guys were as epic as you thought. You know, over time, their numbers hold up and what they accomplished really holds up. So they should be.
Carson went to the Hall of Fame.
Right. Like, I don't understand that. And as far as Eli, and I feel like Eli could just make a call and be like, all right, I'm ready for my number to be retired. Like, I feel like Eli can do no wrong. It's going to happen. It's a matter of when. I think Mara even said it at Eli's retirement. Nobody's ever going to wear 10 again. And he meant it. Strahan, I think, is a no-brainer too. So I really don't know about those linebackers, though. Carl Banks, I mean, he's still so tight-knit with the organization. I can't imagine why it hasn't been done yet.
You know,
is there a reason they haven't done it yet?
No. Well, that's what I'm asking you guys for. No.
You tell us, Mike.
Yeah, Mikey B. Like, that's why we're the Giants guys. We're supposed to have some kind of info, or we're supposed to have a hot take.
Yeah.
You got nothing?
Yeah, I think, you know, Eli's will be and Strahan's will be too. I don't know why Strahan's hasn't been already. And as far as those linebackers, I don't know. Too much time has passed. Maybe they forgot.
I'm going to tell you something, and I hope I don't steal your guys' thunder, but I'm going to tell you something. If you remember, and you guys are a lot younger than me, Michael, you're my age. when they retired Phil Simms's number and LT's number, they had Simms throw Lawrence Taylor a pass down the sideline for Simms's last throw ever.
I remember that.
So I'm going to tell you that Strahan and Eli go out and they
reenact.
Yeah, they reenact that. Eli is going to pump a ball to Strahan down the field.
I like that.
Get their number. It just makes sense that they go to Strahan and they go, look, your number is going to be retired. No one will wear it. But as soon as Eli's done, you guys go in together. And he was like, hell yeah.
I love it.
All right, go ahead, Michael Stewart. What do you got?
Well, what's the criteria of getting your number retired? I mean, do you have to make a certain amount of Pro Bowl appearances? Do you have to win championships? What is the criteria?
I mean, I don't know. I always thought it was gut feeling.
I've written articles on this. There's no excuse why Harry Carson should not have his number retired. He is a 9-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer. I see guys who I didn't even heard of wearing his number, like Craig Stein. It just really, really irks me. Carl Banks, great player. I don't know if he has the length of a career, and I don't know if he should have this number retired, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, I could think of linebackers in the Giants' career that have had better Giant careers than Banks, and they don't have their numbers retired. But I think Carson should be. That's a no-brainer.
Go ahead, Spiro.
Listen, I mean no offense by this, but I mean a lot of offense by it. We're not the Yankees. We don't retire every single number. You know, we have the Ring of Honor. You know, that's essentially our retired number ring. You know, there's too many players are in this organization that you could retire their number for. Eli is going to probably have it because he, you know, quarterbacks always get the love, and you know, over a linebacker, 100%. You know. Lawrence Taylor, Strahan, those are these big time personalities that are going to get the love as well. But a dirty, like you know, not dirty, under the radar kind of guy like Harry Carson and Carl Banks.
Can you see that, Spiro?
Listen.
Spiro, can you see that?
How is he under the radar?
They're under the radar in that.
That nobody, says HOF.
I understand that. Listen, I have all the love for these guys, but
all of fame.
They're not. They don't get the publicity that a Lawrence Taylor and a Strahan and an Eli will get. You know, that's what?
Harry Carson made 9 Pro Bowls and is in the Hall of Fame.
Listen, this is not a knock on them. I'm not knocking on them, but again, my original point: we're not the Yankees. Right now. We can't retire every number of a great player that's in it. Yeah, this is football. We need the numbers. we've been around since what, 1925. I don't know if you could retire all these great players and have enough numbers to go forward with.
But so you don't think if you make the Hall of Fame, you get your number retired? Do you really feel that way? Or are you just
Listen, that's not my – no, I don't agree with that. I think in any other organization, you know, they would have a Harry Carson retired. But like I said, for an organization that's as old as the Giants, it's going to be tough to – you're going to start running out of numbers. You're 56 gone, 53's gone, 98 gone. You're going to start running out of linebacker numbers to give to other people.
Mikey B, straighten him out.
So – yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame, you got to get your number retired, like, however you want to slice it. Like, but to Michael Stewart's question, like, what's the criteria? Like, that's like that at the very least, you get your number retired.
That's automatic.
Yeah. So I think they all should have their numbers retired. That's why in the beginning I was asking, like, what's the reasoning for them not? So I don't think there is a good reason or excuse. So let's retire them. Let's celebrate them this year when we're, you know, 6-1 heading into the middle of the season and go from there.
Look, there's great players like Leonard Marshall and Carl Banks and Jesse Armstead. I got you, Spiro. I'm right with you. But when you make the Hall of Fame, which you are literally the best of the best there ever is, I mean, you can't give that guy's number to a practice squad player. Like, that's part of the rite of passage, like, of being the best.
If they haven't done it yet, though, why? Like, what would put them? It, like, why would they do it now is my point.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute, though. But that would go back to the same thing as, why does the Hall of Fame have an alumni committee and they vote a guy in that's been out for 40 years? Like, everyone – there are people who get – like, you're a big baseball guy, Spiro. How many guys have gotten passed up that took the alumni to vote them in? Like, I'm sure there's a – I'm drawing a blank, but – was it Bly Levin or Phil Niekro? There's a handful of guys every year that you're like, why isn't this guy getting Raleigh Fingers? I don't know. There's a handful of guys that just don't get in, and someone goes, hello, knock, knock, knock. This dude was a bad dude.
For sure.
And when you look at a guy like 9 Pro Bowls, I just kind of scratch my head. Like, it just kind of feels like they're thumbing their nose at the guy.
Well, he is in the Ring of Honor. You know, he's in the stadium right around, you know.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Listen, Harry Carson absolutely deserves to be one of the greatest. He is one of the greatest Giants, you know, of all time. I just think it's tough for an organization like the Giants to keep giving out retired numbers and taking numbers off the list, like the Yankees, we're going to start running out of numbers at some point.
Yeah, well, that they're going to have to go to 3 numbers. You'll have to start
running out of exactly. You know, 99's gone now. Judge, he might get his number retired at some point, too.
I coached a lot of lacrosse in my day, and there's a lot of teams that start at 100.
Yeah, like, I dig that.
Yeah, you'll see a kid running around with 182 and like 235, and you're like, what?
Get crazy. Let's start with triple digits now.
I tell the story. I tell the story all the time. So my son's a face-off guy, and when we signed him up for lacrosse because he didn't want to play baseball anymore, and you know, he was a little kid, but he was like 5 at the time. And the lady says, and my son's got long hair, and she's like, you know, you're really cute. I'm gonna give you a special number to wear. So we got home and we took it out, and it was number 60, right? And he looks at me, and I look at him, and I go, dude, that is awesome. I'm like, that is the coolest number on the planet, right? And he's like this. And he looked at me, he's like, yes. And so for the last 7 years, he's been wearing 60. And I'm like, dude, you will make 60 famous. He doesn't think anything of it. He thinks
I dig it.
Yeah, he thinks 60's cool as heck. You know, like, I was trying to see if I had a picture. Look, I don't know if I can get this in there.
Yes.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So like, you know, numbers have meaning. Some people make money off of numbers, like, right? They literally make a living with their number. Like, when you think of 21, you think of Dion. You know what I mean? Like, we used to play this game all the time. I give you a number, you tell me the player that wore it. Mm-hmm. And you could, you know, so everyone has a different number. But, like, when it comes to Hall of Fame, it is something to me. Like, the Ring of Honor is great. But guess what, Spiro? On an off week, they flip it to Jets.
Yeah, true.
So
that's a whole other topic that we can get into.
Yeah. I just meant, like, it'd be special if it was etched in the stone and not on a placard board that they flipped to the Jets, right?
Well, it literally is etched in stone in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's true. So, all right. Well, I think that's all I've got for this week of the Giants, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow these guys. You can find me at nygiantsrush.com or AKA Jon Snow. Gordon Spiro, taking on this week. But thanks for supporting these guys. Follow them on Twitter. Check out their information. Strike up a conversation with them. And if you see me pass your tweet on to them, it just means I can't do it anymore. I just can't. And listen, all opinions are cool. It's the fact that when you jam down stuff down my throat that doesn't jive, I mean, it doesn't jive. Like, it's okay to have an opinion. I think Mike B said that today. It was cool. It's cool to have an opinion, but, like, why you're choosing a negative opinion doesn't make any sense. They haven't played yet. Like, let's have a positive outlook. Mikey B, where can they find you?
At M double JB, Michael J. Basile on Twitter. That's at M double JB. And let's go. I'll make some bold proclamations. Let's talk.
All right. And you got an article I'm posting up tonight, so you could check his article out in the morning. What do you got, Michael Stewart?
Well, I'm at Golf for Van. I'm doing a series of player spotlights until we get to training camp. Nice. I'll be up by tomorrow morning.
Nice. Always depend on Michael Stewart coming through. All right, Jeffy, what do you got?
I'm at JeffPilgrim11 on Twitter, and this week I'm going to put out an article about why the league needs to watch out for Darius Slayton.
Oh.
And by the way, we don't know if that's really Jeff Pilgrim. It just looks like
it. I'll be back next time we do this show. It'll be back. I'm not shaving until then.
Spiro, what do you got? Where can they find
it? Yeah, it's at NYSportsGuy_SP. SPI.
Only him, man.
Every show.
every time he says it, I'm
Spiro
like,
had that New York, New Jersey flair, you know? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm going to have an article about the Giants' plan, being AKA the Patriots' plan of how to build a defense from the back to the front. And I should be out this week. So look cool. Forward to it.
All right. Well, look, again, Giants guys, this is it, the 2020 version. We hope you like the show. We're probably running a little bit long, but we missed a week or two. I'll try to chuck this up, and you guys enjoy. We are OU2 out.